Hello, America. Welcome to Dialogue. I am your co-host, Mark Levine, sitting here with Garland Nixon and Terry Kester.
We are lucky dog.
We are three radio hosts, which is why it gets a little ornery in here. The topic today is controversial, and it has to do with two men in D.C. One has been around a very long time, and one is a newcomer. The person who's been around a very long time is our own former mayor, Marion Barry.
How do you spell forever?
He's known as the D.C. mayor forever.
Yes, I know.
He, of course, now sits on the city council, and he was the lone vote last week against marriage equality. Now, this is really interesting because Marion Barry largely got elected back in 1978 because he supported gay equality and got the support of the gay community. In fact, the bill that he ended up opposing was a bill that he had originally supported, had even signed on to support. But apparently, Marion Barry got religion. And he said, and we're going to play some of those clips later on, he said that it was a question of morality for him and that he was a moral man. He was a moral politician and he was going to do the right thing and he was going to punish immorality by making sure that gay people can't have their marriages recognized in D.C. So is Marion Barry right when he says, and this is a direct quote from Marion Barry, that all hell is going to break loose? That we may have a civil war, and that the black community is just adamant against this.
We could use a civil war, you know, Mark, but not necessarily for this reason.
Well, what's interesting, of course, is there are 12 other members of the council, six black and six white, and all of them voted for marriage equality, along with our mayor, Adrian Fenty, who, of course, is African-American. So the question is, does Marion Barry represent black people in D.C., or do the six other African-American representatives and the six white representatives and the mayor represent black opinion in D.C.? And what does this all have to do with a Maryland preacher by the name of Harry Jackson, Bishop Harry Jackson, who's come into this city and says that he represents black people, and he actually says some more extreme things about that black people are opposed to gay rights. I don't think that's the case, but I want to hear from y'all, and I want to hear from our listeners.
All right. Yeah. Let me jump in.
Hello. Hello.
I'm from Garland. Go ahead, Garland.
Okay. Well, I'll put it like this.
Let's keep this going, guys.
I'm no mathematician or statistical analyst here, but the numbers alone say that if there's going to be a civil war, it's going to be a little one-sided in reality. I think there was a little grandstanding there, but clearly the numbers do not bear out the argument that Marion Barry is making. Everyone in the city, pretty much all the other legislators, voted against him. You know, personally, I would like to believe that some of it was grandstanding by Marion Barry. But let me say this. I don't know if I should say this in defense of Marion Barry, but let me say this. There is a reality, and that's it, this. The African-American community traditionally has been somewhat socially conservative on some issues, and gay rights has been one of them. However, it on the list of things to address, it's not very high on the, you know, or on the list of things that have to be addressed. So I will say there certainly is an argument to be made that the African community, American community, is somewhat socially conservative, and there may be some within that, maybe even a significant percentage within the African American community that would oppose gay rights due to their religious belief. But when it comes to actively trying to thwart it, I don't think you're going to see much effort. African Americans have bigger fish to fry.
Well, Bishop Harry Jackson said he would bring 1,000 people here. He is a bishop of a Beltsville, Maryland church. Says he's a resident of D.C. He said he'd have 1,000 people here to protest, and he only managed to get 150, including, by the way, Tony Perkins. This is a very interesting man, and a lot of people don't realize who Bishop Harry Jackson is. I actually had him on my show a year ago here.
Have you no taste?
And I like to bring on controversial figures.
Oh, okay. All right.
I'll be playing some clips from that later on. But basically, this is a guy who is the front man for white evangelicals. He claims to represent black people, but let's talk about some
of
the ways.
Is he black? Is he white?
He is black.
Right, okay.
But he supported George Bush in 2004. Uh-huh. He said that if Barack Obama is elected, that there will be a march of darkness He said that you and I, talking to a number of white evangelicals, you and I can bring the rule and reign of the cross to America. He supports, he's against universal health care. He's against most of Barack Obama's agenda, jobs, education. He supports the entire right-wing agenda. But he claims that he is the representative of black people in D.C., and they're going to rise up. And apparently, he convinced Marion Barry.
Well, now, wait a minute. As I understand it, there were a whole herd, pardon that word, of African-American ministers there at the city council meeting, raising quite a ruckus, raising a bit of hell, frankly.
Yeah, a few hundred.
And but, I mean, ministers particularly. I mean, a whole group of ministers very much opposed to this. And I really wonder in this issue, we all have, you know, our personal preference and certainly wish that, you know, we'd be a more tolerant society. But my understanding is Marion Barry has a bit of an argument, unfortunately, and I'm not one to agree with a lot of Marion Barry's stances. But from what I understand, and correct me if I'm wrong, Garland, but that there is a great deal of homophobia amongst black males particularly. And then that's one group. That's not necessarily those who are in the church movement. The church movement, as I understand it, is more women than men. And they are quite powerful. And the reverends in there are quite powerful. So in a sense, I mean, I personally think that any elected official should represent his constituents, but on certain principles, things stand above what the constituents, you know, might really be screaming about. I don't believe in mob rule or majority rule in that sense. But if you're Marion Barry, you can see where he's caught between constituents, and which I think there is homophobia, be it religious or otherwise. What's he to do to represent them? He's in a tough position. And secondly, you know, I think the gay community in general is treading on thin water or getting... can you tread on thin water?
I think it's thin ice.
I would say the ministers would argue that you could.
Yeah, you could, but that's a Christian thing.
I think it requires a miracle.
Yeah, I think it does, at least, you know, and a couple guys in a boat. But
Well, if it's thin, then there must be some land under
there. There we go.
Never mind. Go ahead,
But I just like to mix an occasional metaphor.
Go ahead.
Yeah. But, you know, I think the gay community and the lesbian community has to be aware of the religious fervor and somehow or other dialogue respectfully with that, because I doubt there's going to be a civil war. I think that's ludicrous. But I suspect there's going to be a lot of pressure raised.
See, I first of all, of course, there are a lot of religious leaders that do support marriage equality. But for me, I found it strange that Barry was blaming blacks. I mean, there is a recent ABC Washington News poll of all Americans nationwide. And it showed that today, for the first time, there's a majority of Americans that support marriage equality. It's close. It's 49-46. Among Catholics, it's down a point, 47-46. And among African Americans, it's 42%. So in other words, if it's 49% for all Americans and 42% for African Americans, you take 100 Americans and 100 African Americans, you got 93 who agree the same. Yeah. You got 7% difference. That's within the margin of error. Is it fair to blame black people for the fact that some preachers, I mean, look, preachers are against marriage equality, white and black. I don't think this is a racial issue, and I don't think it should be made a racial issue.
I have to agree with that. And I think one of the things that was said here brought that out, and that was there was a number of preachers who showed up. Well, it doesn't surprise me that a bunch of ministers showed up and said that. That should not be shocking.
A bunch of white ministers just show up in the jurisdictions.
And whoever they were. If a group of ministers showed up against that, that's not anything that surprises me.
Exactly.
But that doesn't necessarily mean that this... Now, if they brought their flock with them, then that would show something. But they showed up pretty much on their own.
That's right.
And when they tried to get large numbers of people in the African-American community to show up, it didn't work because the opposition is just not there. As I said, from my experience, there's people in the African-American community who are against it, but they're not vocal. They're not strongly against it.
But are they not strong about it because they're not talking about it, period? They're not facing
the issue. I think they're focused on health care and jobs.
They got bigger fish to fry.
Yeah, I don't think denying gay people civil rights. I mean, if you are a fundamentalist Christian and you believe in, James Dobson and Tony Perkins and Bishop Harry Jackson.
Frightening thought.
If that's your belief, you're going to go out there and march and do some some, you know, awful things. But I mean, it seems to me that this is kind of blaming black people for it. When let's face
it. Well, then why is Marion Barry doing this? Then that's the question.
Well, here's what Marion Barry said. Okay. Here's what Marion Barry said, and I'm going to play some clips in a minute. He said that he's not doing it for his personal feelings. It's not for his personal belief that he believes in it. And in fact,
well, we know that's a fact.
He told the Gertrude Stein Democratic Club that he was on full support for marriage equality, and they endorsed him for his council seat just a year ago. So this is recent stuff. He signed on to the bill, as you know. In fact, he voted on it at his consent committee and changed his mind. What he says is that his constituents, 70%, are opposed.
Right,
and that may well be true, but the way he was tying it to civil rights. I would think that Marion Barry, of all people, would understand that civil rights shouldn't be something that you...
Then the question remains, what the hell is Marion Barry doing?
And the also issue is this.
Is he on crack?
How does he come upon the number of 70%?
I don't know. I called to his office, I assume.
I'll put it like this as an example. The night that after the inauguration, I was here and 96% of the African Americans voted for Obama. Well, the 4% that didn't were the ones that called and aggravated me all night.
Bishop Harry Jackson apparently was one of them that did not.
So what I'm saying is this. If he says, I'm getting 70% of the calls that I'm getting are opposed to this, well, that's because the people that aren't really opposed generally aren't motivated to call and say, oh, by the way,
that's right.
I'm not opposed.
That's
they
right.
don't need to.
That's right.
So you got a bunch of people who are saying, I'm against it. That doesn't give you the 70%. That means 70% of your callers were against it.
But so do we just dismiss what Marion Barry's saying? Is that what we conclude? Which is okay by me, but you know.
I think so, but look, he does represent a certain group. I mean, he does get real. Elected overwhelmingly in Ward 8, and he does represent a lot of people who feel left out of the process. What's amazing to me, though, is that he's willing, this guy who is, for all his imperfections, whether it's...
Just three.
Oh, I can think of more than three.
Oh, okay. I lost count.
We got the crack, we've got the tax evasion.
That's two.
He's had four marriages and four divorces.
Well,
and
that's not a character flaw.
Well, but apparently he was not true to any of them. I don't know. This is what I read.
All that being said,
otherwise I wouldn't raise it, but he doesn't want to let gay couples get married, so is it fair to look at his marriages and say, maybe he just doesn't want people to
I see where we're headed.
I see where we're headed. He's actually, from his perspective, he thinks he's looking out for gay people. He's had so much horror in marriage.
He lost everything
he had. He's like, they're not going to go through what I went through.
Right. Protect them. Well, he claims
it's a question of morality.
That's it, Garvin.
Let us play some of those clips that I gave you. I'm not even sure in what order they're in. Go ahead, TJ. Play the first one.
Marriage has been defined by God. And everybody in America does not have an equal civil right to get married.
The NAACP in this city is actually calling out their members and telling folks, don't come to the meetings. Now, critics would say, don't blacks and Hispanics have other issues that they should be concerned about in this critical economic time? My answer to them is that if we miss this strategic moment and do not fight for marriage, what we'll do is turn around some years from now and say the disintegration of our culture began in 2008 and we weren't involved. And so we should care because this is an urgent issue.
Okay, so that was Bishop Harry Jackson. That was him actually in Florida, in D.C.
Why was he being interviewed under the bus?
Most of these interviews are done outside. So none of these are particularly great quality. I apologize for that. But he's saying that that the disintegration of black culture will be caused if gay people, including gay black people, are allowed to get married.
Well, first of all, I'm African American, and I've done a lot to work in the African American community and poverty and things like that. And the African American culture ain't in that great a shape right now. There's a lot of things that need to be done. And, the AIDS numbers in this city, come on.
Yeah.
But Bishop Jackson blames gay people for that.
Well, I don't know what to say. I lost words, man.
Wait, hold on. This is historic. We had 2 seconds of dead air on this show.
Yeah, that's a rare thing. And that leads me to say that we need some callers.
So let me
go ahead and ask for some callers. It's 202-588-0893. 202-588-0893 to call in and join the dialogue. Yeah. We got Brian on the line. Brian, welcome to the show.
Hey, doctor, how you doing?
Well, I'm not a doctor, but I play one on TV. Yeah, so, right.
Oh, brother.
I'm a lawyer, which may be a lot worse. Oh, I guess I have a juris doctorate. Yeah. That's okay, though. That's the first time I've been called doctor. I kind of like the sound. It's not
JD,
true,
buddy.
go ahead, Brian.
It's a good thing we're not on television.
Go ahead, Brian.
I'm sitting here looking at this, and I'm part of the African American in the community. And one of the things, you hit on the point, there are a lot of African-American straight males that are homophobic, I being one of them. But I really, you know, I'm sitting here listening to this whole petitioning about marriage rights, and I guess this has to go back to the whole little scandal with the beauty pageant. You know, I've always been an advocate of exit only, and I know that's my personal preference, but I'm not understanding why this society or why this particular race, we're the only race that is actually trying to support two men or two females being committed to one another. When you look at any species that walks this earth, there aren't any. And I'm just trying to find where's the logic.
I suggest you look at your science textbooks.
Yeah, actually, that's not true.
There's penguins and swans and elephants and dogs and
chickens. Sex and all that type
of
stuff.
No,
but that's not relevant. They don't have governments. You know, they don't have constitutions.
Well, there's a point.
Have you talked to your dog lately? Maybe your dog wants a government. I mean,
no, but that is actually a good point because, you know, I mean, being a civil society, we have certainly civil responsibilities regardless of what, you know, Mother Nature's tendencies may or may not be. We can argue that forever, but there are civil responsibilities.
Right.
And in this country, supposedly, equality is one of those civil responsibilities.
You would think so, although I should note that in every single species studied, there is a certain percentage of same-sex mating.
Yes.
It's simply a part of nature, just like 10% of us are left-handed.
Right, and in every society as well.
Right.
In every society.
And the other issue here is, any civil society, as African Americans should know as better than anyone, just because the majority of people are in favor or against something doesn't mean it's best for the society.
Right.
And
right.
Our government ideally is set up so that the minority can maintain their rights because it's constitutional or it's good or bad or right or wrong, whatever. Regardless of if everybody else is against it, if it's the right thing to do, we're supposed to be able to make it happen.
It always bears repeating that the majority of people in Alabama supported Jim Crow laws.
Of course.
If there had been a referendum in 1960, whatever, the majority, even with blacks voting, there were so many whites in Alabama that were racist that they would have put in Jim Crow laws. When it comes to civil rights, majority shouldn't be ruling.
The blue states had to send troops down in order to get African Americans into schools and colleges and things of that nature. So we got to be careful when we're talking about what the majority wants.
And I also think we have to remember that we had 6 African-American council members, an African-American mayor, 6 white council members, all of them supported. So 6 out of 7 blacks on the council, that's 87% or something. That's better than a lot of other jurisdictions across the nation.
Yeah, and we have to accept the fact, you know, sort of saying, you know, if I don't happen to personally like something that somebody else is doing, okay, fine, I don't have to like what they're doing, but that has nothing to do with their civil rights, their equality before the law. And that's what this issue is. It's civil rights. It's equality before the law. And it's no other issue. There is no other issue. Now, we can impose, like Marion Barry did, all these other issues on it. But the basic issue is simply civil rights and equality.
And to follow up on Mark's point, if we think about it right now, 7 out of 8, whatever the numbers were, voted in favor, and 1 voted against. And the newspapers, and now everyone including us, we're talking about
Marion Barry.
We're talking about the anomaly because,
right.
A, you know, he's...
Because he's Marion Barry.
Because he's Marion Barry, right.
And let's face it, I mean, it's kind of boring to talk about all of, you know, the...
The 12 that all agreed along with Mayor Fenton.
Yeah, the 12, but the 12 who broke real ground.
That's
true. I mean, in fact.
And that's true, and they did.
But think about this. But now what happens when it goes upstairs?
See, I don't think Congress is going to do anything about it.
They're going to try to ignore it. I guarantee you they try to ignore it.
This is a Democratic Congress. The only way that Congress overturns this law formally. Now, there are other ways through amendments, and we can talk about that. But the only way they do it is if they got to pass a bill in the House and the Senate and signed by this president. And I guarantee you, Nancy Pelosi doesn't want to do this, Harry Reid doesn't want to do this, and President Obama does not want to do this.
And I guarantee you, if our Congress has the courage to ignore health care, has the courage to ignore the mortgage crisis, has the courage to ignore torture, they can ignore this, too.
I think they will. I think they will. Let's go to Vic on the line. Vic, welcome to the show.
Hi, you gentlemen.
Hi.
Yeah, you're right. Y'all don't give me the y'all breathe on the
barely.
Show then? Y'all just on and on. But I just think that the moral fiber of America is really going down. I mean, you know, when you look at these issues that they're talking about, we got a lot of other things that are going on here in America that we need to address with the youth. With poverty, with families who don't have a lot of things that they need, especially this day and time. I'm against gay marriage, and I'm not against the individual. I'm against the lifestyle of the individual. I feel that if a person has a lifestyle, then it shouldn't affect me, and they shouldn't have. Everybody
how does it
has
affect
lifestyle.
You?
Whatever you do behind closed doors,
how,
in your
how
office,
does it affect you for gay couples to have equal rights?
Well, it's like, you know, I look at it like this. If you have a boat, and you have people on the top of the boat, and you have people at the bottom. And the people on the top of the boat want to get some water. So all they have to do is, you know, be out in the ocean, they dip their cups out or whatever, and, you know, and get some water. But the people on the bottom of the boat say, you know what, every time we need to get water, we got to go up to the top of the boat to get water. How about if we drill a hole in the bottom of the boat?
I'm not sure I understand
See, when
your
you
metaphor
drill a hole
at all.
In the bottom of the boat, everybody is affected. So that's why, you know, I'm against it because it affects the whole of society.
So let me get
it
this straight.
The whole of society.
What you're saying is if gay couples get the same rights as straight couples, that will ruin straight marriages across
now,
the country?
I'm not saying the rights.
Rock the
I'm
boat
saying
up.
The lifestyle. That's what I said first.
Well, their lifestyle. So
lifestyle.
Two people that you don't even know.
Everybody has the right to do whatever they want to do.
Well, but you don't want them to have the right to do what they
do
want to do.
Shouldn't affect me if you want to do if you want to treat with an animal. And see, that's what the father comes up.
Vic,
well,
I asked you a question.
Sleep with my dog,
Vic.
And this guy don't want me to sleep with my dog, and I have a right to sleep with my dog,
Vic,
or
nope.
my cat, or whatever the case may
Vic,
be.
Vic,
and
Vic.
So
hey,
that's
Vic.
For that.
Well, no, wait.
That's freedom of speech. You know what I'm saying?
All right. What Vic is saying is that we are all interconnected. And there's and I respect Vic for trying to bring that point out. Now, if that interconnection, you know, extends to this issue is a whole other question. And I don't think that it does.
Vic, no one is forcing you to marry a man. Yeah, I guess Vic just left us. I don't get it at all. I asked him how does it affect his personal life, and he told me about a boat.
I understand it. He is saying that, you know, if one thing everything is interconnected. How one person acts does affect how society responds. There is truth in that. We as simple as you know, what is the
butterfly thing?
The wings.
No man is an island. No man is an island. Is what I was trying to think of.
I think it's a basic principle of liberty that my right to throw my fist ends at your face, and that if your face isn't in the way, I can throw my fist in the air, and so what? You may not like how I dance. Don't dance with me. You know, you may not like the person that I
married. Know what kind of dances can you do? I mean,
in other words,
do you tango? I mean,
plenty of people who I don't like the person they chose to marry. Sorry, but
I like Vic's first question though. Do we breathe? I think that's profound.
Well, I don't think we do. I don't think the government should be telling people who to marry.
Yeah, I think this is an issue where you can yell fire in an empty theater.
What do you mean?
Well,
empty theater.
Yes.
Fire in an empty theater.
The old legal thing, fire, you can't yell fire.
If you throw your fist, then it doesn't harm anybody.
You can do this if it doesn't harm anyone else. You can't yell fire in he was basically trying to say, this, what's happening affects me. You can't yell fire in a crowded theater because it affects everyone else. But if it's an empty theater, if what you're doing doesn't bother or affect anyone else,
but
then
he's saying it.
No
but
longer.
He's saying it does. Yeah, he feels it does.
But obviously he can't name why. I got to tell you, Garland Terry, I have broached this issue for years. We've talked about it, and every single person, including Bishop Harry Jackson when he's on this show, I asked them, how does the fact that a gay couple, strangers to you, are happy and have children and have equality to you, how does that harm your life? I have not heard a single person ever answer that question. James Dobson doesn't answer that question. Jerry Falwell didn't answer that question before he died. Vic can't answer that question, because the answer is it doesn't, unless you fear that you yourself are going to immediately divorce your wife, divorce your husband if you're straight, and become gay, unless you really fear that's going to happen. And I don't know really many straight people that fear that.
But I think, you know, there is, I mean, this is getting real controversial, but I have some friends who are indeed homophobic, and I think they are afraid. And I don't know exactly.
Are they afraid of themselves?
But we don't know what they're afraid of.
I think they're I think there has to be some fear of oneself to the degree to be homophobic. I really do. I really think that's true. Now, I don't know that. I can't prove it psychologically, but I think a healthy male who is, you know, or female that is secure in their own femininity or masculinity is not going to give a damn what somebody else does, you know, sexually, unless somehow you really don't know how to handle it yourself.
I think it's people who don't know gay people. People who've never met a gay couple with
kids. Well, there's that, too. There's that, too.
And then some strange other thing.
And you know, this is the argument that it's actually the argument that our last caller made is the argument that the conservatives have been making for years, that our society is going to crap because the Democrats or the liberals want people to do things.
It's going to crap
that
because of
we
Rush
don't
Limbaugh,
approve of, and because we don't approve of, we're going to argue that it hurts us. You exercising your rights hurts me, but they can never come up, no matter what angle it is or what issue it is, they can never come up with a way that it hurts them. But they're always saying, as if it just crumbles the moral fabric of society.
But it shows
we don't have the most moral society.
Here we have a former mayor, Maren Barry, with his four marriages, four divorces, his adultery, his crack addict, his not paying his taxes, saying that he is going to enforce his brand of morality on strangers he doesn't even know, or some people he actually does know, some friends of his. He's going to ruin their lives because they're acting immorally. And, you know, is he saying that,
or is he just skipping the issue entirely and saying
No, he's saying that.
No, but isn't he saying it's my constituents' fault?
No, he also said it was a question of morality. Hey, TJ, let's play that clip of Maren Barry. I think it's the second clip.
Politicians ought to be moral.
Yes.
So when we disagree on something slightly or major, it's because I am a politician who's moral.
Right.
Now, you can't just talk about it, brothers. You got to work for it. You got to go across the street and walk the halls of the city council, confront all 12 of them, eye to eye, eye to eye, morality against immorality. And so finally say no to same-sex marriage in D.C.
Marion
Barry. He said it was a question of morality. You walked right into that clip, Terry.
Yeah, Marion, get a grip, will you?
One quick comment.
Come on.
Any argument that is not based in logic cannot be swayed by it.
That's true.
And his arguments, when you look at that, the more you listen to him, the less sense it makes to go from it hurts me and things of that nature to I am a moral person, therefore I have to fight immorality with when you have a sordid record, you know, at best.
Yeah.
I think we'll side with the other seven.
Nice try, Marion. Nice try. Keep working.
Let's move on to a caller, shall we, Terry? Ken is on the line. Ken, welcome to the show.
Hello. How are you doing, guys?
We're doing great.
Actually, I kind of wanted to piggyback on some of your other callers. Personally, I don't believe that that the marriage equality issue is a civil rights issue. I believe the issues such as equality in the workplace, anti-discrimination, anti-gay bashing. I believe those things are civil rights issues that really are worth fighting. I just don't believe that really the marriage equality is. And the reason I don't believe it's a civil rights issue is because it all goes back to the issue of civil unions. I mean, I believe that any kind of civic or civil, protections that are needed can be covered under civil unions. I personally, when you ask the question, what is the problem with, including gays under the definition of marriage? Well, I mean, it really, maybe nothing directly, but it forces those of us who are, heterosexual to expand the definition of marriage that we don't necessarily agree with. I don't agree with, and I don't think it's natural part of sexuality, human sexuality, for two men to have sex or two women to have sex. That's my personal opinion. I mean, I haven't been convinced that there's scientific evidence of that. Now, you said before that there are, in every species, there's a small percentage.
Right.
But there's also a small percentage. There's also a percentage of the populace in every species that are deformed, that born deformed, born with birth defects.
Do you think they shouldn't have equal rights under the law? If you're born with a deformity, should you be a second-class citizen?
I don't think it should affect anything as far as equal protection of their civic or civil rights.
Here's the problem.
So you're saying married. You object to the marriage.
Here's the problem, Ken, with civil unions. And I think it's a problem that Thurgood Marshall talked about. It's a separate but equal system, and it really isn't equal.
But it's different. It's much different than the separate but equal that we had to deal with as far as, you know, with African Americans, because the separate but equal was used, it was a tool
right.
of people who basically their intent was to oppress.
Right. And what you'll find is that civil unions do not give near all the rights and benefits that
marriage
gives.
Right now they don't, but they can very easily, because most people, if you poll, are not against, you know, protection for gays, you know, for people, for homosexuals, you know, as far as the rights under the law. Most people are not against it. They're not trying to basically covertly, you know.
I'll tell you what it is.
Most people want to basically have some way for them to protect themselves against, you know, basically have some type of legal protection. And I think it would be very easy, and something that would be very tolerable to do is to expand the reach and what the coverage of civil unions are to do what they need to do.
But doesn't this already exist? Because in the sense that people hold, you know, marriage as something different and they want to keep that for heterosexuals or whatever, that is generally performed within a church, within a temple, you know, as part of a religion. It's generally part of a religious ceremony.
Yeah,
it's
Catholics don't have to marry non-Catholics. Yeah, Jews don't have to marry non-Jews. Right. Muslims don't have to marry non-Muslims.
It's not a civic event.
Right.
Now, it does have certain civic rights. But, you know, if there's no reason that people of the same sex can't have that same kind of union, it's not violating anything civically. I think I've lost what I was trying to say.
The point is, there's a difference between religious marriage and
civil marriage. Yeah, there is.
And no one is trying to change the definition of religious marriage. That's defined by each church. That's what I was trying to get to.
Yeah,
right.
It doesn't affect that at all.
But if civil unions were truly equal, you know, then I think there'd be a much better argument for them. Unfortunately, they're not. And under the law, the federal government does not recognize civil unions. For example, if you're a gay couple, you can't get Social Security benefits. You can't get Veterans Administration benefits. Mm. If you're serving on base and your partner is at home, you can't get spousal benefits.
Okay, but what our listener was saying is, why not change those laws so that they can get those benefits rather than change it in a general sense?
There's another issue, and that is the issue of various states recognizing civil unions as opposed to marriage.
They don't recognize civil unions.
I hate to bring up the red states, but in all likelihood, the red states, you're less likely to have them even decide to recognize civil unions. So if it's going to be the same all over the United States, it's going to have to be marriage, because most places, by law, they recognize marriage as kind of a legal word.
So in other words, without changing hundreds of laws, you have to use that term to fit within the legal structure and the law, the canon of law that already exists to provide certain rights.
Or you have people that are married in one state and they go to another. They can't move to this state because they're no longer.
Which is why the D.C. Council did exactly what they did. They recognize those marriages.
So what he's saying would be fine theoretically if you just expanded civil unions. Theoretically, it would be fine, but legally, it won't work nationwide.
I actually would have no problem with civil unions constitutionally if they applied to everybody.
Yeah, right.
In other words, if you said everybody, straight or gay, equality under the law, gets a civil union, and then if you want to get married, you go to your church and you get married, and it has no rights under the law, but it gives you, you know, makes you feel good in your religious context, and it's sacred, and you before God, and the way you worship God, that would be fine because it's equality under the law. What I don't like, though, is the idea of second-class citizens.
So not to mention this. Yeah. Then Garland stands up and says tomorrow, well, how come I can't get a civil union? You know, I'm married this woman, divorced her, I got to give her $250,000. So I want a civil union now, I don't have to go.
Divorce is a protection, too.
Yeah, I don't want to go through what Marion Barry has gone through.
That's a point we haven't heard about, and that is, if civil unions are the law or whatever nationwide, then can heterosexual couples now argue that they can get civil unions that are going to be recognized a little bit differently and protect themselves from certain...
And the interesting thing is that would actually harm the institution of marriage.
Precisely.
Think about it. If heterosexuals could get civil unions, that actually would harm the institution of marriage. Right. So the irony is that supporting civil unions, unlike supporting the right of gay people to get married, that actually could change the institution of marriage.
Because what happens... Think
think about that. What happens if tomorrow, if the areas, the states, or whatever that say civil unions, if heterosexual couples start coming in tomorrow say,
we want to get a civil union.
Equal
rights under
the
law.
Are they going to deny them and say, I'm sorry, only gay couples can get civil
unions?
That would
be unfair.
Yeah, hey, I got to make sure I get a copy of the show just in case my wife isn't listening.
Let's go to Art.
You and your civil union partner.
Damn right.
I want to go to Art. Art is on the line. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Very spirited discussion. I was drawn into it.
Thank you.
Well, good.
I hope we'll pledge, but
go ahead.
What I'm hearing, and I don't know if you're hearing this, is kind of a blurring between sexuality and civil rights, and then capped with morality, it throws into another field.
Yep.
And my point is, I'm a believer that, you know, human beings with free will, that's given to us by life, and I don't think life overrides free will. But I have a question. Is not human rights, or are not human rights and civil rights, a moral issue also? And also on the issue of marriage, in the religious sense, the Protestant religious sense, marriage was instituted by God. So they say Adam and Eve were married by God, but yet God fathered a child by a human female and did not marry her. So I'll just throw that out there.
Ooh, I don't know that I want to touch the virgin birth. I'll let one of y'all do that.
I was going to suggest that people should, if you like this show, you should donate right now. What's the number again, Mark?
202-588-9739. You know, usually we're not afraid of controversy on this show, but it's pledge week, so
let that one fly by. You know, but I do.
No, but he makes a point. But that believing in civil rights is also a moral question.
It is. I'll make a big point. I mean, you know, and I don't want to bring attention to anybody I shouldn't be bringing attention to, so I hope I don't. But I know personally of a situation where a young woman, a wonderful woman, has just finished her work in a particular religious seminary, and she is about to be ordained, and she will be able to perform all the functions of this particular church, except she can't do it in Virginia.
Hmm.
Because in Virginia, and it's a church rule, it's not the society rule, but the church rule can only stand because Virginia allows it to stand, that a woman cannot.
That's right.
Cannot do these priestly functions.
And a lot of churches believe that women cannot be ministers, cannot be priests.
She is qualified in every way. You know, she happens to have a partner, and she can get a job in D.C.,
right.
But there are certain places, including the good old state of Virginia, she cannot find a job. Now, that is not fair. I mean, that's just not equal rights.
No, but it's a good point that religions have the right to discriminate. They can discriminate on the basis of sex.
Hiring?
They can discriminate on the basis of race. They couldn't
discriminate if the civil laws supported the equality. I mean, just because, you know.
Sure, they could.
Yeah, they could.
Absolutely, they could.
I can't keep you out of a church just because you're black.
Yes, you can.
Yes, you can.
Absolutely, you can. Yeah. If you form the church of the KKK, you can say, we will have no black members.
But I thought that was the same.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And
you
get
can
away with it?
Absolutely.
Yes. The government can't do it.
The Title VII gives an out to churches. They can discriminate to any religious institutions. They can discriminate in any way they please. Now, not if they take government money, which is a whole other issue.
Right.
But if they do not take government money,
as a not-for-profit organization, they can still do that.
Even
there was some question about Bob Jones University back there.
Yeah.
I don't know about non-for-profit.
Well, I mean, in all churches,
in
are
general, though, I know that Title VII has an exception for religious institutions, and they can choose to say, "I mean, the Catholic Church doesn't hire women priests."
Okay, so we need another topic here. We got to straighten out the churches too.
I think we have really come to something here, and that's this. If there's a state, there are a lot of people who decide to live together, who decide they don't want to get married. They just want to live together.
Right. Mm-hmm.
If some of these states right now where they have the civil union laws and all these people who live together, and a lot of people who live together who just decide they don't want to get married are upset because they decide they're not going to get married and they miss out on a lot of rights and things like this. What happens if all these people who want to live together in the civil union states now go and say, we want a civil union too?
Well, that's why I think it's easier just to have a one-size-fits-all. You have
civil
marriage. One of the things that New Hampshire did recently, and they just passed a law to allow gay people to get married as well as straight people, is they very clearly defined the difference between civil marriage and religious marriage. They actually labeled it in there and made it very, very clear. Religious marriage can discriminate however it wants under the dictates of that religious institution, but civil marriage has to be equal under the law. We'll see if the New Hampshire governor signs it. Now, this is Bishop Harry Jackson right here on Dialogue last June. Can we play the next clip, please?
I could create a class of civil unions that's absolutely Us, he don't support equal rights under the law.
No. But I'm saying if two people choose to live with each other, there should be some protection, some equality. That line
some equality. Yeah. See, now, even those words, some equality, some parity, to me, that's an oxymoron. That's a contradiction. Either people are equal. 14th Amendment says we all have equal protection under the laws. Either gay couples are equal to straight couples and should have the same rights, and a gay American should have the same rights as a straight American, or they're second-class citizens.
Yeah, earlier the bishop was saying that he thought that gay couples should have some rights. I just wondered if he could come up with an example of the type of right that a gay couple, like, wouldn't deserve.
Yeah, where do you think gay people should not be equal with straight people?
That's really an unfair question. I'm saying to you that I've been told 1,100 laws. I have not looked at them. But I do believe that this dialogue and discussion has to be had on an intelligent basis and say, let's parse out these 1,100 laws that everybody keeps throwing around, and let's say this applies, this doesn't. This works, this doesn't. As opposed to, if you buy my concern that marriage has been devalued, in a black community especially, we just have this horrible thing that's going on, and our family breakdowns are not just the result of gay people.
That was Bishop Harry Jackson right here on Dialogue last June. Uh-huh. When I asked, and a caller asked, you know, okay, you don't believe in full equality, you believe in some equality. What would you give gay people, and where would you treat them as second class? And he says, well, no, I'm not gonna parse that out right here. And then he says that the decline in the black family is only partly due to gay people. I don't really see how it's due to gay people.
No,
at all.
But you know, I think again, and hopefully we do this. I know we make a lot of jokes, and I particularly, you know, be a kid around and everything else. But we do need to respect, and I've learned that from our listeners. We do need to respect those who disagree with us. And I see his concern in what he was saying in the second part, particularly in terms of, you know, the black community. There's no question that the black community, in terms of families, and if the family has a value, and I think it does, you know, that there has been an incredible deterioration. I mean, it's something, what is it, like 50% now are single-parent situations.
Probably higher.
But that's got nothing to do with gay people.
I know that. I'm just saying, out of respect to Reverend Jackson,
sure, it's a problem.
That, you know, in trying to hold marriage to a higher, more special, all I'm saying is I can see his concern, and I respect his concern. I do not agree with his conclusions because of his concern, but I think it's necessary to respect his concern. And I think, perchance, if the gay community, or even those of us on the air, can respect that concern somehow or other, we might make a little more progress.
And I also think this. I can respect a person's religious convictions that they don't believe in
Absolutely. Whatever.
I can respect that.
Absolutely.
That's what we're supposed to do. It's their religious beliefs, and I respect, okay, you're against this or that because of your religious beliefs. That being said, I don't think we should make laws based on religious beliefs, individual religious beliefs, because if that happens, you're going to have a lot of people that are upset because there's certain things that they're not against that someone else is, and then we have to start picking and choosing which religious beliefs.
But you cannot deny, and I think this is part of what those in the religion feel, you cannot deny that every single law has a spiritual and a moral component. There's no such thing as a law that is neutral. That is impossible.
There are plenty of neutral laws.
No, that is philosophically and temporally impossible.
Oh, come on, the tax course. Percentage and the clean water
and they don't have any spiritual or moral effect down the line.
The fact that you need to wear a seatbelt or you have to, I mean, look, there's all kinds of laws out there. Some of them just sort of regulate our existence.
You can't spit on the sidewalk in Baltimore City.
Is that because God said so?
I don't know. Maybe it's because it causes disease. Does it? It spreads disease. I don't know.
Maybe so. I mean, look.
You can't separate things like that. You can't separate things and say this is only a temporal moment. Right. This is only a physical moment. This is only a spiritual moment. This is only a moral, legal. You can't do that. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, in spirit, all of our laws are designed to do something, for lack of a better word, right. Whether it's a tax law that says we're going to make the taxes even between the rich and the poor. Well, that's a bad example. But you get my point.
But when you have a religion dictating the laws according to their specific religion, you end up in theocracy.
Directly.
And that's the problem with Bishop Harry Jackson. I mean, he's a guy guy who said that you and I will carry the rule and reign of the cross to America. That is what he's trying to do. He's trying to impose his religious beliefs on everyone.
And we know he's not going to succeed.
And the point is, there are a lot of people who don't follow those religious beliefs, and a lot of them in the black community. You know, the voices of gay black people aren't being pointed out, or even straight black people. Let's play the next clip for me, please.
This whole thing saddens me as a black woman. I mean, I know a lot about discrimination on both ends. And for us, all people, black ministers, to use their pulpit to oppress another minority.
They use the Bible to discriminate against black people. They use the Bible to discriminate against Jews. You have used the Bible, and I just think it's just awful the way we use the Bible to justify our own bigotry. If you're going to be a bigot, then be one and be honest and just say, I don't like these people. They're different.
That was Lynn Brees. She was a woman who was out there at the protest against the ministers, an African-American woman. So the point is that there are all kinds of voices out there. And I just think it's important to point out that Marion Barry doesn't have a lock on this. And Bishop Harry Jackson doesn't have a lock on this. That the majority of councilwomen do believe in marriage equality. And I don't like that they're making a racial issue out of it. But
I'll say this. Let's not forget, a few short years ago, this same argument was being made of whether people in different races should be married.
Yeah,
you know?
It's called misogyny.
Right,
yeah.
The same exact argument was being made. Thank you. We look backwards and we say, you know, gee, you know, from a moral and ethical perspective, we can't, you know, I can't believe they were doing this. You have a feeling that 75 years from now, if the polar ice caps haven't melted and we're all, you know, drowned, but if that doesn't happen, that they'll look back and say, you know, can you believe they actually argued against this stuff?
Yeah,
it happens over and over again. And every time we as human beings do this, we never stop to think that we're backward in time, that people are going to look back at us like we thought the earth was flat.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's going to happen a lot sooner than that. If you look at the polls, the differences between whites and blacks are very small on this issue. The differences between young and old are huge.
Really?
Among people under 35, Americans under 35, more than 67% support marriage equality. Among those over 65, it's 28%.
Wow.
So that's not a difference of 7%. That's a difference of 2-1 youth for it, and more than 2-1 elderly against it.
Wow.
So there is no question to me that the future is going to be marriage equality. It's just a matter of time, really, until the young people
older. Unless those young people get old.
Well, no. I don't think their views are going to change.
Oh, it doesn't work that way.
I don't think their views are going
to
change.
I'm just trying to understand that.
Let me say this. We only got a few minutes left. You look at talk radio, and who do you hear? Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity? It's all the far, far, far right. Who represents your voice? And even when you disagree with us, at least we give you a topic that allows you to call in and have your voice
heard. And we do not screen your calls, which, you know, is obvious, and I hope you all do realize that. We will, in fact, accept anybody that calls, except for foul language, things like that, and talk to anyone and allow them to have their say. That's part of it.
And if you want to find out more about what I'm doing, I've got a radio show every day. You can get on my website at radioinsidescoop.com. If you missed any portion of today's show and you want to hear every last word, all you do is you go to radioinsidescoop.com. The archive is there. We archive all these dialogue shows there, and I believe Garland does it as well. I'm not sure on his website.
Yeah, my blog is furioustruthtopower.blogspot.com. That's furioustruthtopower.blogspot.com.
And if you have a comment on today's show, just send me an email, Mark, M-A-R-K, at radioinsidescoop.com. And tune into Dialogue every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. On behalf of Garland Terry and myself, Mark Levine, we are signing off.
A conversation in which we all get a chance to speak, to listen, to be heard.